Welcome to day 19, Play the Ball, Not the Person. That title I came up with based on an experience that I had back in high school when I used to play a lot of basketball. And I remember one time my opponent got around me in a game and he scored 2 points off my team because he was able to trick me out. And I remember my coach telling me, Mark, play the ball, not the person, meaning keep your eye on the ball, not the person. The person's going to do all sorts of weird things to get around you. He's going to try to trick you. He's going to try to fake this way and go that way. But really what you have to pay attention to is the ball. And that is, I use that as a way of introducing the whole issue that we have in our society today of arguing properly when we have a disagreement with another individual, that we not personalize the arguments. We get caught up in who is sharing the idea rather than the strengths or weaknesses of the idea itself. And unfortunately, we're seeing this a lot on TV and in the social media, where individuals are attacking the person with whom they disagree instead of the argument they're making. It becomes very personal. And we see this amongst our politicians and social media outlets. And it creeps into our own vernacular, where we just sort of write off other people and we assume ill will and that they're not being what's called in Hebrew, l'shem shemayim. How do we know that this individual doesn't really sincerely believe this? And we need to stop personalizing things and start getting into the substance of the issues themselves. Now, you can't do that if you surround yourself with people that you agree with. You're not going to argue with anyone if the only people you're friends with are the people who agree with you. That's the whole important idea of engaging with those with whom we disagree. And I quoted the English philosopher John Stuart Mill, who said it's only by the collision of adverse opinions that the remainder of the truth has any chance of being supplied. We see this in the legal system. You have a prosecution, you have a defense. And that's what the whole Gemara is, machloket. So much of a Talmudic tradition is debate, because that's how truth emerges, when you get both sides hitting up against each other. And that's why it can only happen when there's respect. And you see in the Gemara, and the sages of the Talmud had incredible respect for one another, even as they disagreed on very, very core and important principles. I love using, as I did in the chapter, Hillel and Shammai, that it always says the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai, because Hillel and Shammai as people greatly respected each other, even if they disagreed. There's a tradition that their children married into each other's families. And when the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, I did not mention this in the chapter, I mentioned one Mishnah and Pirkei Avos in the chapter, that any dispute for the sake of heaven will endure if it's for heaven's sake. But if it's really just a personal attack, it's never going to happen. But the other Mishnah of Pirkei Avot asks, what is an argument which is l'shem shemayim, which is for the sake of heaven? And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot in chapter 5, Mishnah 17, answers that it's the argument between Hillel and Shammai. And what's the argument not for the sake of heaven? That, says the Mishnah, is the argument of Korach and his company. Now, the argument, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks wrote beautifully, that between Hillel and Shammai, one of them would render a decision, the other one would argue with it, out of basically a desire to discover the truth, not some sort of desire to win, to prevail, but because they really wanted to know what was true. An argument not for the sake of heaven was Korach and his company, which is the story in the Torah when Korach rebels against Moshe and his leadership, because he really came to undermine Moshe. And, you know, he said that, you know, why did you usurp all the leadership and we don't really need these leaders? But at the end of the day, he was actually just trying to become a leader himself. He wanted to win. You see, if your goal when you have an argument with someone else is to win, you're never going to get at the truth. The goal has to be to arrive at the truth and to then concede when you feel, you know, argumentation-wise, you've been defeated. You know, and this is a very, very important idea, and we have to be respectful in the way we speak to each other. And I began the chapter by quoting from the 11th century rabbinic figure, Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Gabriel, who said that before I say a word, I am its master. After I say a word, I am its slave. Let's remember that just because we're arguing with someone doesn't give us license to personalize the argument. Let's be respectful. Let's remember what Rabbi Jonathan Sacks of blessed memory, who lived his whole life arguing with individuals respectfully with whom he disagreed, but always was trying to arrive at the truth. And if we can do that, then we will not only get closer to Hashem, because Hashem is all about the truth, but we will also rein in one of the most difficult parts of our personality, and that is our speech. So much of what we do in terms of tshuva during this period of time leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you'll see when we get to the vidui on Yom Kippur, the confessional, how many things we ask Hashem for forgiveness for having to do with speech. So let's try, let's be more aware. How do we disagree with other people? And let's also not prevent ourselves from entering the foray of conversation with others with whom we disagree. Let's hear them out. Even if we decide to agree to disagree, we'll still respect each other. And Bezrat Hashem, we will still learn how to use one of the most important and powerful tools that Hashem gave us, which defines us as a person, to be a medaber, to speak, and to speak eloquently, to speak respectfully, to speak beautifully.